Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
We're all in shock about what happened Saturday night. Still, there's no way to justify it. The Dallas Mavericks trading a guy who, less than a year ago, took him to the NBA Finals. Luka Doncic is now a member of the Los Angeles Lakers. And the Lakers didn't have to give up much to get him. A lot of questions to really just ask of Mavericks management, because it's very clear, they admitted this, that they didn't talk to really anybody else. It was just the Lakers from the get-go. In case you have not actually heard this straight from the horse's mouth, here is Nico Harrison, who orchestrated this deal, with Jason Kidd stone-faced, sitting next to him, wondering about the meaning of life, saying an all-time line.
The long term is the time frame. I think he fits our time frame. If you pair him with Kyrie and the rest of the guys, he fits right along with our time frame to win now and win in the future. And the future to me is 3-4 years from now. The future, 10 years from now, I don't know. I don't think they probably bury me and J-Bud in, or we bury ourselves.
Yes. I mean, that is like one of the most tone-deaf comments to make.
That's the moment you realize, oh, wait.
He's an idiot.
I could have gotten more. And I wonder if there was a moment where he said, nah, we're gonna take this back. Can they still take it back?
Nope. Too late. Like, people are asking Adam Silver to veto this trade the way that David Stern did the Chris Paul to Lakers trade. You know, like, that's what people wanted to see happen. Like, that's how bad this was. He also opened the press conference, like, laughing about there being so many people there. And I think he answered 4 questions and then bailed like a coward. Like, he bailed. Like, and you're making jokes? Like, that's why I feel bad. Because this guy's up there cracking jokes about, I don't know, man. Like, I feel bad for, like, fans if they're going to be up there, like, watching this general manager crack jokes about being fired in 3 or 4 years, basically, because of this move. No duh, dude. You're getting canned for this.
I think it's funny when fan bases go through hell and it's not yours. Does that make me a terrible person?
No, perhaps. No.
I'm a rubbernecker right now. I see a car crash on the side of the road, and I'm slowing down and slowing up traffic.
Like, I don't feel bad for, like, Browns fans. Like, they get what they deserve. Like, they were all so excited about Deshaun Watson. They wanted to pretend like all the allegations and things didn't exist when they got him. So, like, I don't feel bad for them. But, like, Mavs fans didn't do anything to deserve this.
No, they're a little annoying during last year's NBA Finals.
They can be, yeah.
And this is just personally for me. Like,
that's fine.
That's like, I had a couple of Maverick fan friends who were talking trash to me going into that series. I kept my mouth shut. And, oh, what happened? Oh, you didn't win? Oh, man. Damn.
Did you text them all yesterday?
No, I didn't. They know.
Oh, okay.
The Celtics ended them. they don't exist. The Mavericks are dead because the Celtics killed them. So, people of Houston, yeah, thank the Boston Celtics. They helped you out.
And to the Boston fans that need a new team to root for, come on over.
Dallas fans.
Yeah.
You said Boston.
Oh, yeah. Dallas fans. Come on over. Just like you rooted for the Astros for
so many
years.
Yeah, I know.
Come on over.
Yeah, it's fine.
I remember, it's your skyline that was lit up in blue and orange when the Astros won the World Series in 2017. So, come on.
Had the Mavericks actually shopped around, they should have called the Rockets.
Of course.
And the Rockets, this would have been a tough one, I imagine, for Ime Udoka to perhaps sign off on, just given some of the questions about Doncic and his lack of care on defense. I think this is one of the players that Ime would have a tough time coercing into playing his way.
Yeah, the fit's not great in terms of like the like what Ime wants out of a player.
There are certain players who it doesn't matter who the coach is, he's not going to listen. And I think that's right now what Doncic is. Theoretically, that could change in the near future. But the Rockets had a phone call been made. They should have thought long and hard about it. There was a theoretical trade that was proposed where the Mavericks would get Amen Thompson, Jabari Smith, Fred VanVleet, Cam Whitmore, 5 first-round picks, and the Rockets would get Doncic, Maxi Kleber, Najee Marshall, and Dwight Powell. I guess that would make the salary match up. Would you have done this? I'm not going to lie. I think Doncic is a great player, but I don't want him. I can't deal with the flopping. I can't deal with the lack of effort on defense. I can't deal with the constant complaining about the referees. I would be out on Doncic, I bet, after a full calendar year, no matter how good he is. I can't do that again. I can't root for a player like that who doesn't stay in the best shape he possibly can. Even if he's way better than James Harden ever was, I wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah.
I would get annoyed. I would probably complain about him more often than I would compliment him.
No, I understand, especially with the way what Amen's doing lately. Like seeing Amen go to Dallas and have the success and be the star player that we both think he's going to be versus what Luka would potentially be here. I'd have a hard time saying no. This proposed trade by CBS, my immediate reaction is no, because that's not anything close to what the Lakers gave up. So
yeah.
I know there's no Anthony Davis going there, but if it was, if this exact trade was the 5 first round picks, Jabari, Fred VanVleet, Cam Whitmore, and Jalen Green, I would do this trade in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. If there was a world in which the Rockets could have gotten Luka and kept Amen Thompson and Şengün, yeah, you're not great defensively in one spot, but the rest of your team can make up for that. Like your coach can make up for that. Like that's Dallas's biggest problem last year, was that you had Kyrie and Luka, who both are defense optional. You can probably have one defense optional guy out there on the court and still win a championship. If not, like a couple guys that are mediocre, but one guy who really doesn't try. Amen can make up for a lot of that stuff. Like you have pieces that I would do this exact trade if I would have done this exact trade if it was Jalen Green instead of Amen Thompson for Luka Doncic. No question about it.
I don't know if they would have taken it, but then again, sure. You saw the trade that they just made, so maybe they would have.
That's very true.
Yeah, maybe they would have. It's incredible that this is all they got. I think that if you offered Luka to 29 teams, all 29 teams would be interested. And sure, there would be some who would be crafty, like Rob Pelinka supposedly was, saying, yeah, we've got some concerns about Luka. But for the most part, every single ownership group is going to just look at the possibility of a star player like that on their team and the relevance that it brings them, the jersey sales, the attendance numbers, the ratings. I mean, that's the biggest part about getting a star like this. Obviously, it helps you win a championship, but if you don't, many of these organizations are dying for the chance to get someone like this. And there's no trade clause. I mean, any team, if they had the assets, could have done this. And the Mavericks made one phone call. And to me, like that's the weirdest thing of all. Why just one? Is it really plausible to buy incompetence as the reason? You know, I mean, I get it. This is a guy who butchered Steph Curry's meeting with Nike. This is also a guy who put together a team that made it to the finals last year. And sure, there was a wonky Western Conference last season where there was no real like killer. The Timberwolves kind of ran out of steam as the playoffs wore on. But I'm really struggling with this one because, okay, it could be just gross incompetence, but it almost feels like that's just so preposterous to say that that's the reason he only called one team. Like, what else is at play here?
I mean,
did Lucas say behind the scenes that this is the only team he would play for? But from the sound of things, that's not what happened.
Yeah,
at least from what we're hearing.
If you think about who would you trade if you're intent on trading Luka for a player and not draft capital and young players. Like, if you go through the list of guys in the league, like, who would be available? Like, no, the Denver Nuggets would not trade Jokic. I don't think the Milwaukee Bucks would trade Giannis. I don't think the Thunder would trade Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. The Spurs would not trade Victor Wembanyama. I don't even know who the next guy on the list would be, like, besides LeBron and Anthony Davis. Like, of, like, who, if that's your only goal is to win right now, the Celtics would not trade Jason Tatum, I don't think, for Luka Doncic. Like,
I think they think about it, though.
I think they would think about it, too. And yeah. I think they might try to do this the way the Lakers approach this of, like, we'll give you less and less and less. And maybe we can transition this into Jaylen Brown for Luka to put with Jason Tatum. So, like, if you're looking for just a straight-up player, Anthony Davis, I think, does very quickly become the top option. And while Jason Kidd looks like a hostage in this video, he was the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers when they won a championship together in the bubble. So if they're out on Luka and they are collectively out, I do see how, like, Anthony Davis reunited with Jason Kidd can be a selling point for them. I don't agree with it, but I can see how they get there of, like, well, we're not going to get Jokic and we're not going to get Giannis and we're not going to get Wemby. So let's get Anthony Davis and let's run that with Kyrie and see what we can do. And I guess that's their logic. And they just must think that Luka will not be the player that we all think he's going to be, I guess, in the long term.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. 713-780-3776 to call in and text in. Would you have accepted Luka Doncic trade?
Yeah.
Yes. For the most part, I think everyone's saying yeah. Like, you could probably still strong arm me into saying yes, because I know what he can be when he's at his best. I would just stylistically be annoyed with him on a regular basis, and that's just Paul being Paul.
But if it didn't include a men, if it was Jalen Green, who you can also be annoyed with at times.
Yeah.
And you have the positives of Amen Thompson and the negatives of Luka. I think it would balance out for you.
Is this the worst trade ever? Are Dallas fans the most down bad of all sports fans in the United States of America? Both those on the table. If you want to jump in, 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Stay put.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
I don't think any Mavericks fans are the kings of wishful thinking right now. Their hopes and dreams are dead.
They're crushed.
Dead and gone forever. You'll try. No, you won't. It's sunk. What's that? Sure, Jan. What song?
I don't know, but I like it.
It's very upbeat, considering how depressed this man is singing into a mirror, or perhaps singing on a ledge, about to take that last plunge.
Yes.
Anyway, 713-780-3776 to call in to text, and you can join on Twitch at ESPN Houston, excuse me, at ESPN 975, on YouTube at ESPN Houston. Someone has a very piping hot take. This is from Steve on YouTube. Dallas is moving to Vegas. The expansion teams will be Seattle and Dallas. Dallas ownership has tried to bring gambling to Texas, but since it doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon, they're just going to get up and leave.
I mean, it would make some sense, but wouldn't you want Luka to be there with you?
Yes.
Like, wouldn't you want Luka to be the centerpiece of a team in Las Vegas?
Maybe there's less resistance or less of an impetus to try and stop him. But again, I don't know the least details of what the Mavericks are. I would assume that it's just a, you know, tinfoil hat conspiracy. But we like it, Steve. We appreciate it.
Look, when you have these teams coming in, these new ownership groups coming in and buying teams that are so heavily connected to Las Vegas, if Texas doesn't get its act together and legalize gambling, you wonder what the fallout for that will be. I don't think it will affect the Rockets in any way, shape, or form, because obviously Tillman has Lake Charles. He also is reportedly wanting to buy the Saints. So, like, he's clearly not worried about it. But for the Adelson family, if they want to have a team and be the team in Vegas, it makes sense. Like, they don't have roots here like Tillman does with all of his restaurants and everything. So, I buy it. If this was a tinfoil Thursday, like I would say,
tinfoil hat Thursday,
I would say I'm in on this conspiracy theory.
Maybe we'll bring it back. Another tinfoil hat conspiracy was this Greg Abbott who wanted to deport an immigrant.
Got his way.
Deported him to the liberal California.
Yeah.
Too. Some would say that's jail. Just kidding. From the 713, here's another tinfoil hat conspiracy. You know what? I'm just going to get the tinfoil hat out.
Oh, he has it.
This is a tinfoil hat Monday, but we have a tinfoil hat on. For the 713, y'all all wrong. The NBA knows LeBron and the Lakers will be crap in a year or two because LeBron said he will play one or two more years. The NBA was on a downfall and does not want it again. Mark Cuban's a shark for real. He's shady.
Well, he doesn't own the team anymore, so or at least the majority of the team. Yeah, this goes back to the whole Wilt, Kareem, Gasol, Kobe, Shaq, LeBron, Luka. The rich get richer. The poor get poorer.
But the Mavericks weren't poor.
No, they weren't.
That's what's crazy. It is interesting. King of Twitch brings this up. A lot of people were saying, ha ha, Mark Cuban. He said he would divorce his wife before he got rid of Luka Doncic. And then this happens. Couldn't Cuban, if he still owns 27%, couldn't he theoretically step in and stop this?
I don't think he knew.
Clearly he didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like literally no one knew except for Nico. Not Nico Collins.
No, just Nico. Just Nico Harrison.
Nico Harrison.
Luka didn't know. LeBron didn't know. Jason Kidd didn't know. The only person that other knew besides him was the owner who laughed in his face.
Yeah.
And then eventually agreed. Like, yeah, if Mark Cuban would have known, he could have tried to stop this. But, alas.
This is a jam, dude. B-Mac, what is this?
It's the theme song. I don't know if you remember this from our... actually, you weren't over that station, but there's an overnight show on News Radio 740, Coast to Coast. Oh. This is the theme. They talk about chemtrails and aliens, all sorts of stuff. Yeah.
They just play this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, dude. I want to do the gritty or something. Yeah. This is like audio Molly. Not that I would ever do that. That is illegal.
Yes.
Okay? Don't do that, kids. Not cool. All right. So, yeah, we got some conspiracies coming in about this. Ultimately, I mean, it is good for the Rockets from this perspective. I think that your competition in your backyard has certainly gotten a little bit easier. I really wonder what the Lakers will be the rest of this year. It feels like it would be a difficult fit for both LeBron James and Luka Doncic, especially with it happening at this point in the year. Not to say that they couldn't figure it out come playoff time, because obviously we've seen things fall together very late in the year and actually work out.
I mean, at a minimum, right? Doesn't this put this on your list of teams you don't want to see the Rockets play in the first round of the playoffs?
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, like hard pass on Luka and LeBron. And there's no way they're done. They don't have a center.
Right.
Like they have to make at least one more move before Thursday's trade deadline, you think. And you think that they would just go all in, because if you have 1 or 2 years left of LeBron, like this move sets up for the now, but it also gives LeBron one last chance to win a championship. I think this gives the Lakers a better chance to win a championship way more than it did with Anthony Davis. And I like Anthony Davis, the basketball player. You know, if his contract's up and he can stay relatively healthy, like that's someone that like I would be very intrigued by for the Rockets eventually if they had the space to do so. But they have major work to do, I would say right now, to be like a real contender this year for the Lakers. This is a long-term play for them.
And I wonder if it's a long-term play without LeBron. The fact that I got a push notification where LeBron is telling, and this is a running bit on the show, the ESPN push notifications that they send out. At least it wasn't a WNBA update. But I get updates regularly, and I'm like, why is this an update that I'm getting? And the one that I got over the weekend, Joe, and I got annoyed as soon as I saw it, because I thought to myself, like, why do I need this push notification? Shouldn't the push notification be for things that are big? This was it. LeBron James intends to stay with Lakers beyond Thursday's trade deadline, from NBA reporter Chris Haynes. What?
For a lot of people, that's big news.
I hate that that's news. I know this gets into the whole, like, oh, we can't call the owners owners anymore. They're governors and all this crap. But, like, the fact that LeBron can say, I want to leave, trade me, sucks.
It does suck.
Just as much as it sucks that an ownership group can trade a best player away and the fans have no say in it, it also sucks that the players can basically say, I'm doing this, figure it out.
I mean, LeBron could still in the next 2 days just be like, never mind. I'm good. I want to be a Rocket. Like, you know, I'm gonna be a Warrior. Like, whatever he wants to do, he can do. You're right. It's
bring Bronny.
I do think there's something wrong with your ESPN app, though.
No, dude, I've checked it.
I don't get these notifications. I saw your tweet and I was like, did I get this pushed?
I've checked my preferences and it's like they know that whenever I see that, I'm gonna lose my mind and get angry. Like, my blood actually boils when I see this. Who cares? LeBron intends to stay with the team he's on past the trade deadline. Yeah, I would effing assume that. They're within contention in the West. Everyone's acting like they're having a bad year. Aren't they the 4 seed right now?
They're towards the top. Like, they're not towards the bottom of the
right. And I mean, the Warriors are like 500 right now. Oh, he wants to go there? Okay.
Yeah, Steph Curry stinks right now too.
Yeah, good luck.
He might be cooked.
So it's very bizarre that is the kind of stuff that's the NBA now. And also, I'd say this, like, Super Bowl week, no one would be talking about the NBA at all still. I mean, generally, we don't really shift, unless you have a good team in town like we do with the Rockets, to talking about basketball until the Super Bowl's done.
Mm-hmm.
Because people care more about football in this country. That's just the way it is. And look, there's certainly a lot of diehard basketball fans out there, but generally they're not going to sports talk radio to listen to content. They're going to be listening to podcasts and things like that. I just think it's a little bit different. But this is what makes people enjoy the NBA. It's not the games. It's trades.
It's the drama. It's the trade machine. Like, it's the NBA's biggest problem. Is the thing that has made their sport the most compelling for, like, content, whether it's podcasts or television or radio, is the thing that's also killing their sport. That, I mean, like, if you were a Mavs fan today, how could you ever be invested in the team again? Like, Mark Cuban stuck by and got Dirk to stick by the good and the bad with the Mavericks, no matter what. And they took down the Heat in the finals. And Dirk could have demanded a trade at any point when they were a mid-basketball team. And this new group comes in and trades Luka. Like, even if they won the lottery this year somehow and missed the playoffs and got Cooper Flagg, how could you be confident that in 6 years they wouldn't just trade him?
Exactly.
Like it's,
or that he would ask out.
Yeah, and it's not like the Astros have let guys walk time and time again, but what happens? Well, they keep winning. Like, where the Mavs, it's like, I mean, even then, like, this is different. This is Ohtani. This is Judge. Like, this is Jordan. Like, this is the best players in their sport, and you just gave them away for a guy who's hurt and old and whose contract doesn't last that much longer.
Yeah,
it's something.
And the Lakers weren't even going to resign him. Now, we do have a couple comments. Fendel Zero on YouTube says, the Mavs got worse, but the Spurs got better. Yeah, they did get De'Aaron Fox. That's the funny thing, too. No one's even really talking that much about the De'Aaron Fox trade, because everyone just can't believe on Saturday night that trade went down. I mean, talk about news dumps. Saturday night at 11:12 local time.
What happens next weekend in Dallas? Last Friday, 9:30 at night, Schottenheimer hired. This Saturday,
yeah, you're right.
Luka traded at 11:30. Like, do the Rangers move? Like, do they leave Texas next weekend? Like, what happens next? It's. I mean, the De'Aaron Fox trade's a good one. It definitely made the Spurs better. I mean, look, even though he's not the player that Anthony Davis is, like, the Kings got 2 first-round picks. They got 3, but one of them will never convey. But, like, they got 3 first-round picks in that deal. The Mavs got 1. It's even if you really think you're going to be a better team, the Lakers have 2 first-round picks. They should have got both of those things at an absolute minimum in this deal.
And they didn't get any of it.
They got 1.
Nico Harrison, dude. Like,
good luck to that.
Congratulations. Man. You know what? No. He has plenty of luck, Joe. How does he have this job after effing up the Nike presentation to Steph Curry?
Yeah.
Where he kept on calling him Seth?
Yeah.
Good God, brother.
He called him Seth, and apparently it was like a presentation that was actually for Kevin Durant. And then that's when Steph went to Under Armour.
Yeah, like Under Armour.
Yeah.
No one does Under Armour. Like, that's how bad you effed it up.
Yeah.
Everyone does Nike.
This guy, he's just like a Nike guy. Now he's running a basketball team. What a strange hire to put him in your front office like this. I mean, he was appointed the GM in 2021 with Jason Kidd. And yes, you made some really good moves last year that got you to the finals, but this feels like he just got tired of Luka and I guess thought it was unfixable. Like thought he was a broken basketball player in terms of being in shape. And there's been some reports today more about outside trainers. It very much reads as like the Alex Guerrero, Tom Brady, Patriots stuff, where Luka was bringing in his guys and Dallas was tired of it. But even then, like, you can't just get him to get rid of those guys.
You had Jalen Brunson and Luka Doncic
and Kristaps.
Yeah. Kristaps looks good again.
Yeah. And Brunson looks good.
But in that one draft class, I mean, they had Brunson and Doncic. It's one of the greatest draft classes of all time. They're both gone. What do they have to show for it? What do they have?
Anthony Davis.
Like, I don't even know what they got for Jalen Brunson.
He walked in free agency, didn't he?
Oh, yeah, that's right. They just didn't bring him back.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, they just let him walk.
No, he's an all-star starter.
Yeah, they just let him walk.
And the Knicks are playing incredible basketball. The Rockets play him tonight, so we'll see what happens in that game. He's Joe and Paul. BMAC in for Sean behind the glass. 713-780-3776 to call to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next in the 10-minute drill, did the Texans miss out on Chip Kelly, who is now the Las Vegas Raiders' very highly paid offensive coordinator and one of the league's best players requested a trade? Stick around.
We're ready for some football, baby.
Set, punch.
Tackling the biggest news in the NFL.
This just in.
With Paul Gallant and Joe George. The 10-minute drill starts now.
Football time. Chip Kelly is now the offensive coordinator of the Las Vegas Raiders. They hired him for the whopping salary of $6 million a year. I don't know how long that contract is, Joe, but if they were going to lure him away from Ohio State, where he's getting paid $2 million a year and has a rather cushy job, this is how you do it. Even if he doesn't have a quarterback to work with, you're going to pass up on $6 million to be a coordinator? I sure as hell wouldn't.
No, I'm taking this job. I'll figure out the quarterback in the offseason.
Right. And I wonder where the Raiders go from here. I'm sure the rest of the league is pissed off that they hired this guy for that amount of money, because now all of a sudden the best coordinators, I would imagine, in football are going to start looking for this kind of money. I mean, Nick Haley, supposedly last offseason from the New York Jets, the guy who many consider to be the front runner for the Texans offensive coordinator gig, was looking for something like $3 million. So
Liam Cohen was going to get 4.5 to stay
right
in Tampa,
right,
before he took the Jacksonville job.
It's crazy. Offensive coordinators are starting to get paid a lot, and sometimes they're not even necessarily proven. Although I guess you could make the argument with Cohen, at the very least he was. But some of these guys, yeah, we haven't seen it yet. We have seen Chip Kelly at the NFL level. When he first took over as head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, things looked pretty good. I think the Texans missed out from this perspective. I don't know if Chip Kelly would be good or bad here in Houston. What I do know is that for a fan base that gets very apathetic often, if you want to have everybody feeling engaged going into this year and as excited after they didn't live up to the hype this past season, hiring someone like Chip Kelly would have done it. I don't know that a Nick Haley or Gerard Johnson in-house kind of hire is going to do that.
No, I think that it will. People will put their will get their deep steel blue pill going.
Oh yeah.
When the season gets here for these offensive coordinators. But in the meantime, once the hiring is announced, I think the fan base will be largely reserved. Just because there's also, like, it's not like you go on like Twitter or anything like that. I know it's not a full representation of the fan base, but you get a pretty good picture of what it is. I don't feel like there's actually like a clear-cut candidate now at this point. Like, there are a lot of people who are pro Gerard Johnson, people who are very pro Nick Haley. Like, it is not clear who everybody wants, which right is probably how it should be, but not everyone's going to be excited.
No, that's for sure. So, continuing to go around the NFL, guess what? Swarm! Texan Swarm! John Weeks, back.
Ooh.
Longest tenured Texan. Hell yeah.
You got to have those leaders in the locker room.
Mm-hmm.
You got to make sure that snap gets there so Kaimi can miss it.
Hey.
It's not John's fault.
Hey. You can't act out on Kyme Fairburn after last year just because of a couple of bad misses against Kansas City.
I think we can.
Why? He set a record for most 50-plus field goals.
He did. He also was missing a lot of easy ones towards the end of the season. My confidence is wavering with Kyme.
He's better than most kickers.
I agree. But it's not John Wick's fault, so glad John's back.
We'll see.
Legend.
We'll see if the special teams tradition of excellence can continue. Myles Garrett, Browns pass rusher, arguably the best defensive player in the NFL, Aggies legend, has requested a trade. He put out his statement: "As a kid dreaming of the NFL, all I focused on was the ultimate goal of winning a Super Bowl, and that goal fuels me today more than ever. My love for the community of Northeast Ohio and the incredible fan base of the Cleveland Browns has made this one of the toughest decisions of my life. These past 8 years have shaped me into the man that I am today. While I've loved calling this city my home, my desire to win and compete on the biggest stages won't allow me to be complacent. The goal was never to go from Cleveland to Canton. It has always been to compete for and win a Super Bowl. All bold, with that in mind, I have requested to be traded from the Cleveland Browns, Myles Garrett, and then his fancy little signature."
They have to do this. I know that their GM has already, when asked about this at the end of the season, said no. You have to trade Myles Garrett. They're in the worst spot in the league right now. All that dead money for Deshaun. There's not a quarterback to draft in this class. If you're an avid mock draft viewer, saw Lance Erline's first one come out today. Projected Abdul Carter, the pass rusher from Penn State, with the number two pick. They flip Garrett to a team like the Patriots for a top five pick and multiple other firsts. Like, they have to do this. I don't even know why it's a question. What does Myles Garrett do for you in the Browns? You're terrible.
I'm curious as to just how tradable he is, given that he's under contract for the next 2 years and has dead cap hits of $36 million and $21 million. The Browns already have a lot of issues with cap as far as what's tied up to Deshaun Watson. I don't think they're going to get much in return for it. It does suck that players have this kind of power and a player for Garrett has this kind of power, because if you're a fan of the Browns, you're hoping that if the guy agrees to play for this team, that he's going to stay. You get why he'd ask out, but there is a part of me that gets a little bit annoyed with some of the players who ask out. I get it here. I do get it.
Like, yeah, this one disaster, is justified.
But, yeah, it's justified. I don't know, though. I mean, especially seeing what happened over the weekend, there's... It's hard to enjoy sports the same way when this stuff just keeps happening. Like, I get it. Like, it's a job for them. It's a career for them. But it is about entertainment. And, I mean, if you're a fan of these teams and this kind of crap's happening, whether it's an owner who's just trading your star player with no really good reason, or it's your favorite player requesting a trade after being here for 8 years, even though he agreed to sign here for five, six, seven, whatever, how many dollars that were spent on him, probably top of the NFL kind of money. It is a little annoying.
I get where you're coming from, because I do tend to agree, but I think this is a circumstance where when you take a swing at a guy like Deshaun Watson and you butcher your franchise, this is what you get. If you miss this badly, this is what's going to happen in the Mavs. If it doesn't work for them, Kyrie will demand to be traded. Anthony Davis might demand to be traded this offseason. Like, it wouldn't shock me. It's just kind of, if you miss, players are going to ask out. And I also think for the benefit of the Browns, like, if you can get a first-rounder back or two first-rounders back, like Khalil Mack got a handful of years ago, that reportedly, you know, the Panthers were offered for Brian Burns at one point before they decided not to trade him, like idiots. If you can get two first-rounders back with the state of your franchise, I think it makes a ton of sense to move them. But they seem out of it not to.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Continuing to go around the NFL, the Eagles and Chiefs have arrived in New Orleans for Super Bowl licks. I can't wait for all the Taylor Swift stories. Can't wait.
Did you see her last night?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I saw photos. I don't watch the Grammys.
Didn't even go to New Orleans to be with her boyfriend?
She's got places
Trouble
to
in
be.
Paradise. Travis Kelce went to the Super Bowl instead of to the Grammys. Unbelievable.
I mean, yeah.
I'm kidding. It is funny just to see the breakdown of that relationship. I didn't watch the Grammys. All I know is that Kanye West's wife showed up, and you could see all of her stuff.
She was naked.
Her pajamas and her hoo-ha. Yep. Yeah, she was wearing a dress. It was like very sheer dress. They got kicked out not because of that, though. They got kicked out because they weren't invited.
Yep. Which, that's a very funny story, that Kanye was not invited to the Grammys. Yeah, I don't watch any of that stuff.
Nor
just doesn't do it for me.
Do I? Well, I mean, there are certain elements of the Grammys that, might have done it for me.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Like the dress?
Well, I mean, yeah. That, yeah. Strong, powerful, independent woman.
Yeah.
Sabrina Carpenter, she's a strong, powerful, independent woman. Was Dua Lipa there? Strong, powerful, independent woman.
The only thing I know, I saw Sabrina Carpenter.
Yeah.
Ripping shots out of a flask. I saw that video.
Hell yeah, dude.
It seems like your kind of gal.
There's a song called Espresso.
Yeah.
I like Espresso. All right. Oh, and by the way, the Pro Bowl games happened, and the NFC's won 3 straight Pro Bowl games. Uh-oh. Is the AFC as good as we think it is? I don't know.
I mean, when Russell Wilson or Drake May are your quarterbacks, you expect to win these things.
You do.
These flag football games.
He's Joe and Paul. B-Mac in for Sean behind the glass. It is Gallant and George. Up next, we're getting closer and closer to Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to West Palm Beach. We're less than 10 days away. Oh, my God. It's so exciting. Until you look at the Astros outfield. Stick around.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We're getting closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer and closer to the Astros as they try to once again win the American League West. It's been 8 years in a row. Can they make it 9? Can they get back to the American League Championship Series? That would be nice.
It would be really nice. Not go home in the first round of the playoffs, 2 games against the Tigers. We'd rather avoid something like that happening again.
And we will call it the first round of the playoffs now because, yes, the Astros lost, but they made it to that point, and we do need to act like we're still cool. It was a lot more fun to say that the playoffs begin for the Astros in the American League Championship Series. That's really fun to just swing your thing around as a sports fan. So now we have to say, like, oh, yeah, well, the AL West is our God-given birthright. But the problem is the AL West is, you know, it's kind of...
And they did lose it.
It's the hood.
They also did lose it during the pandemic year. But it's 60-game season, so it doesn't really count.
The Astros are in a trailer park, you know, let's be honest, of a division. But, hey, as we get closer and closer, I feel like everyone knows what they want this time of year. They want that bone!
It's always Astros time in Houston. Are you ready to play?
A lot of people were wondering what it was going to be like if the Astros didn't win the division. I guess we'll never know.
We're counting you down to the Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to spring training in West Palm Beach.
First off, Alex Bregman, still unsigned.
Oh.
No new update. The Tigers signed Jack Flaherty, and they're interested in Alex Bregman. That was the update over the weekend.
They made a trade today.
Okay.
That apparently they get some money back.
Oh.
I don't know if it's enough money to sign Alex Bregman, but they got some money back.
The Astros saved some money by trading Ryan Presley to the Chicago Cubs. And guess what? Ryan Presley took out a full-page ad in the Houston Chronicle on Sunday. Dear Houston, wrote Ryan Presley, when I joined the Astros in 2018, I never imagined how much the city would welcome and embrace me. Over these unforgettable years, Houston has given me more than I could have hoped for. I met and married my best friend, Catherine, a proud Houston native. Together, we have welcomed 2 amazing children born and raised right here in the heart of the city. We have made lifelong friends, seen teammates become family, found a community to call our own, and built our former home in Houston. On the field, Kat and I have been privileged to share in the magic of Astros baseball with 7 postseason appearances that will forever be etched in our hearts. Standing on the mound as we brought a World Series championship back to Houston was a dream come true. one that exceeded every childhood hope I ever had. This city and this organization have given so much to our family, and words will never be enough to express our gratitude. Houston, you have our hearts forever. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you. With love, the Presleys.
Thank you, Ryan. Great statement.
Sounds like someone who didn't want to leave.
He did not want to leave. He wanted to be here. The Astros said, see ya, buddy.
Bye. Yeah. And I get it. He wasn't the same player. But I think at the same time, the fact that they had to strong-arm him into getting out, it's a byproduct of many decisions that the Astros have made from a contract perspective that have aged poorly, whether it was James Click giving him out or the Skull and Bones Letterman Jacket Society giving him out. There's a couple that have hamstrung them and put them in a spot where you can't offer more than what you're offering Alex Bregman right now, where you can't add an outfielder, where you're probably going to go into this year with what you've currently had, and you're hoping that somebody is going to figure it out in spring training and excite you. And I don't know about that.
Yeah, and it's not that they can't, it's that they won't, which is equally frustrating, I think, that they willingly gave out these bad contracts. Now, I like the fact that I still give them credit for getting rid of Jose Abreu and just eating the money and not letting him just be a giant black hole on your roster and in the lineup at first base every day. I'm glad they got a new first baseman, but they could spend this money. They don't even have to get Alex Bregman. But, God, it feels like they're doing nothing.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do anything. I think they've got that offer on the table for Bregman. They're not going to go over it because they don't want to go too far over the luxury tax threshold. And I'm really wondering if anyone is going to send in another offer. It really feels like the kind of waiting game that happens at an auction where two people, three people, four people might be bidding on the same thing, but they all are thinking to themselves, man, I'm not paying this much for that. And they're all hoping that another team takes this out of their hands.
I think that's what the Astros are hoping for. Is that they're hoping someone finally like gives a six-year deal for $170, $185 million. And they go, well, that was just too much for us. Like, we couldn't go that far. We didn't want to go that far above the collective bargaining tax. We gave him our offer. We thought it was fair. And, you know, that's why he sat in the market. Like, I think that's what the Astros are hoping for. The farther we've gotten away from this, the more I don't think they're ever really back in on Alex Bregman. When Dana Brown told us he hadn't called Scott Boras back, I think that was a sign that the reporting was not coming from Houston, I think. I think it was very clear. The Presley stuff was coming from Houston. I think the Bregman connection to it was not. Like, I would be stunned if Alex Bregman's an Astro at this point.
Stunned?
I don't see it. He'd be an Astro if they really wanted him to be. I also don't, like, really buy, like, he wants. There's been a couple people that, like, have said he wants to be an Astro. No, he doesn't. Not that bad. He'd be an Astro. Like, if he wanted to be an Astro that bad, he would take the deal.
You would think.
Yeah. Altuve will move to left. He'll then take your $26 million and play third base.
But, and that mentality is a mentality that you share with a lot of people.
I just don't. Yeah, I think it's just been widely mischaracterized now, this whole thing, about his interest in coming back to Houston and their interest in bringing him
back. So you don't think he wants to come back that much?
No, because like it's $3 million a year, $4 million a year. Like, that's what we're getting held up on here? Like, does he really feel like he's being that disrespected? If he was, then then a six-year deal worth $30 million a year would be on the table. The Astros are being proven correct this whole time.
Yeah, I think right now that's a fair argument to make.
Yeah. So if he really wanted to be back.
Can you afford to think you're correct, though, just given the state of your lineup, if you do not add to the outfield, which is clearly, you know, an outfield that is now going to see Altuve out there from time to time entirely just to give yourself a chance at the plate?
No.
Not even really in the field. So that's the,
yeah,
that's my holdup, is that you do want more in this lineup, and he was a key leader. And can you really say going into next year that you're definitively going to win the American League West without Bregman. Because, you know, we played the comments from Jeff Bagwell and Craig Biggio earlier, and Bagwell said, hey, we have pitching. Well, yeah, you have pitching, asterisk. You have pitching, assuming a lot of these guys are healthy by the end of the year. And that's not a guarantee.
No, because last year it got so much worse while you were waiting for everyone to come back. Like, it's,
you're waiting for Luis Garcia, you're waiting for Christian Javier, and you're also waiting for
Lance McCullers.
And I mean, yeah, it's not like you need all three, but you need one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you definitely need one of them. Yeah, and look, the Astros, if they're willing to spend this money on Bregman, I don't know why they can't take $26 million and sign two $13 million outfielders. But Jim Crane is just so focused. And if you miss Chandler being on with us on Friday, it's up on YouTube. Like, he's only willing to go over for a star. I hate the logic behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just improve your team. If you're willing to spend to a certain threshold, then you should just spend it, honestly. But it shouldn't have to be for only Bregman. But at this point, this is their team, I think. I think we're done.
He's Joe. I'm Paul. We'll see on that front. 9 days away from Astros pitchers and catchers reporting to West Palm Beach for spring training. More details about the Luka Doncic Anthony Davis trade from Saturday night. Looks like there's some collusion going on. How so? You'll hear on the other side. Stay put.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.